If you've never lived in a place with monkeys in the trees, that's not a good thing. Like, everybody thinks
Matt,
like
you have the perfect opportunity here.
Real monkeys, straight cash.
There we go.
This is Beers with Talos. Threats, beers, and malt join us.
Welcome or welcome back. This is Beers with Talos, episode 121. Today is May 20th, 2022. And I'm joined, as always, by Matt Olney and Liz Waddell. Guys, how are we doing today?
Does anybody else take vitamin D pills?
Yes.
I got a vitamin D shot 2 days ago.
A shot. All right. So I had a physical a few months back, and my vitamin D levels were not surprisingly low.
You're not getting enough sunlight? That's weird.
And, yeah, weird. And my doctor, and it was interesting. He kind of implied that it was some studies that suggested that low vitamin D was correlated with poor outcomes if you have COVID. So he's like, well, let's just get your vitamin D up just to. And so he prescribes me vitamin D, and I take it once a week. So Friday is vitamin D day. So that's why I was thinking about it. And it's these little green pills. And I have this vision of being like, of taking the pill and then like shooting sunlight out my eyes. Because I'm like, if you only have to take this once a week, like this must be an incredible amount of vitamin D or something. Like, I don't know.
I'm just surprised your doctor only wants you to take the D on Fridays. Like,
I'm going to stop there. I'm just stopping. I will say that it is difficult for the body to absorb that vitamin, which is why so many are deficient. I am very, very low, and it's very hard for my body to absorb it. So that's why it's better if I just get it shot into my arm.
I mean, if you told me that your body rejected sunlight, I would be like, yep, checks out.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
That does make sense that my body is just like, no evil Daystar.
Matt, real question. Does it make you like nauseous when you take it? Because like the first time I took it, like the vitamin, like I got really nauseous. I didn't know if that was that or I'm surprised. No, I am surprised you don't take it every day. Do you take like a big pill or is it just like a single?
It's one.
Is it a suppository?
Bright green transparent pill that goes in my mouth. And then after I take it, I can shoot sunshine out my butt. So just for 24 hours though. Then it kind of fades.
Oh, it's not a whole weekend trick. You only... Liz, let's talk about something else. Go. Literally
so,
anything.
Tangentially related to that and to what we're going to talk about today, I'm going to talk about large crowds at events and events that are too large. So I went to Los Angeles last weekend for a weekend full of different musics. So Friday night, I saw Bouncing Souls with 7 Seconds and the Circle Jerks play at the Palladium in Hollywood. And it was so crowded that I saw somebody, I'm pretty sure, die. Like, his head was busted open on the ground, blood pouring out, not responsive to the medics. But there were so many people there, they couldn't control the crowd from, like, not walking on this dude. And then I ended up leaving because I wanted to take control of the situation because they were not good at it. So I left so I would not be that person. But when we left the show, like, area was cleaned and like, nope, like there's, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of people were there, but nobody knew this was going on. Like the shows just kept playing. And then somebody could have freaking died and nobody would have known. He's at least severely injured, right? And then the next day I went to Cruel World Festival, which were all like the 80s and 90s new wave bands you ever wanted to see. It was like Bauhaus, The Church, The Damned, 45 Grave. Who else? Oh, Morrissey actually played Blondie, Berlin. Like, it was nuts. But it was also at the Rose Bowl on the golf course. Everybody who attended this concert, for the most part, were of the elderly pale variety, and the stages were very far away on the hottest day LA has seen all year, with no clouds, no sun, and then making elderly goth people walk back and forth like across
elderly
this.
Elderly goth people.
It you was, mean yeah. vampires.
Yes, there may have been a few vampires there.
By
the end, like, this thing was so big that it took us an hour to get through merch, and we waited until the end of Blondie's set right before Morrissey went on, and it still took us an hour to get through that line. That's, like, an idea of how many people were at this thing. It was nutso. I think that events should be catered towards their audience, and they should have damn well known that there's a bunch of people who haven't seen sunlight in 40 years and, like, do not walk places. They may stand in place and, like, pray to the ceiling gods or dance an invisible sword fight, but they're not walking large distances in bright sun.
Yeah, it's situations like that that I regularly find myself asking, what would Morrissey do?
Yeah, so he actually showed up, which we just had so many bets on whether or not he was going to play. And he sounded fantastic, and I really wanted to watch, like, I know a lot of people in LA love Morrissey, so I wanted more to watch the people watching Morrissey and, like, just watching the adoration.
So I also had a fun-filled weekend last weekend. I got to take my daughter to her first concert. So she wanted to go see Gogol Bordello play at Janice Live in St. Pete. Not too crowded and no one died. So I feel like it was a pretty uneventful concert by comparison. However, if you get a chance to catch up, if you've never heard of Gogol Bordello, I think they self-describe as gypsy punk, which is about as accurate as a description as you could possibly need or give them. But the lead singer and the lead guitarist are both Ukrainian. And the entire band is like a coalition. I mean, it's like the UN of bands. I don't think there's any two other people in the band that are from the same country. They come together and, like, their live show. That was the third time that I've seen them live. And all three of those shows would be in the top 10, if I were being honest.
These are the guys you sent us earlier. They do the immigrant song.
Yeah, Immigradiana.
That song is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. They're a great band. They're a really good band.
They're a great band, and I saw Eugene once do, like, the solo gig on when I was living in New York still, because he lives in, like, on the Lower East Side, and this was back when the Lower East Side was still kind of like it. But I saw him do, like, this underground, like, I don't even know how I ended up. It was one of those nights where, like, how the hell am I here? And it was him playing, like, a solo set in the basement of some bar on Lower East Side, and they just had these giant tubs of, like, homemade vodka with stuff in it, and they were just, like, basically it had, like, a spout on it, and they would just, like, walk around and, like, pour it in your drinks. It's good times.
Sounds amazing. But speaking of crowds and audiences and being around lots of people, we're heading back into conference season, and nobody's done this in person in a couple years. And they're starting back up in person. And a couple of the biggest ones, at least for us, in our industry and for our company, are coming up here in a couple of weeks. By the time you hear this, they'll be right there upon us. And that's RSA and Cisco Live. And those are happening kind of back-to-back weeks, and those are two of the biggest shows that we do all year. So we want to talk about that coming towards the end of the show. We also want to talk about some of our favorite and least favorite conference moments. And we want to start today off. Liz, you sent us a story in the chat on Costa Rica and everything that is going on with Conti and Costa Rica and attempted government overthrows and declaring war on ransomware and everything else that sounds intriguing and exciting. So what the hell is actually going on down there?
It is not Pura Vida right now.
Pura Vida.
So the ransomware attack against Costa Rica started well over, I think, like 2 months ago now. I think it started up in April. It was when we first started hearing, it was probably there much longer, but that's when we first started hearing about it. Basically, Conti infiltrated Costa Rica and have just basically gone through systematically and really kind of holding them hostage, right? For lack of a better term. There are so many different aspects of this that makes it such an interesting story. One is that it happened right when there was a government switch, which made things even worse. We have a brand new government coming in place. So that automatically is making things more difficult. But then there's also, what the hell was Conti doing question, right? So Costa Rica now, at this point of like, they've declared a natural emergency. They have said, we are declaring war on Conti. Conti says, pay us $20 million. The U.S. says, we have a bounty of $10 million for information that leads us to the arrest of a Conti member. So if I was one of them, I would just say, hi, I will give you all of Conti. Thank you for my $10 million. Have a nice day. But what is really interesting is, as of today, there is a big piece in the news about Conti using Costa Rica as a ruse, a front, to basically so they could take down their operations and split back into smaller units again because it got too big and everything got leaked. So,
well,
I don't know. It could all be a bunch of BS because Conti
did grow remarkably fast. Right. Like it was just using, it came onto the scene and was using other initial vectors, you know, different loaders, different means of access, I guess. And then it kind of grew into a syndicate that took over the tools and the teams that it was using to get that initial access and rolled into one big, like you said, like a cybercrime enterprise. And I mean, yep. Are you saying like that was part of the decision making here? Like it was just too much to manage or is there problems within the group or why would they decide to split into smaller factions?
I mean, I'm sure this is just me speaking out of my butt, but that's the best place to speak out of, right?
Depends on if you've taken your vitamin D yet or not.
I'm sure there's a number of issues they're dealing with, not to mention, you know, the war in Ukraine, which probably is affecting them in some way, I would imagine.
My favorite reaction to the whole COVID or the whole Conti breakup thing was actually from one of our cyber crime specialist researchers, Azeem. There was an announcement that Conti shut down operations, they're going to rebrand into smaller units. And his response was just Conti Atlantic, Conti South, Pacific Conti. And I thought that was absolutely hilarious. Also a joke you only get if you're over 40 years old.
Those guys at Pac Conti. So I did, before we talk about what we're actually going to be doing at RSA, and for those of you who would also be joining us at Cisco Live, I did want to go around and talk about some of our best and worst conference memories of all time. I think for me, it's total Schadenfreude, right? But some of my favorite conference memories are just like charlatans getting busted out like during their talks. That has always been interesting and fun to me. When somebody like thinks that they're going to get up and give their big talk. And it invariably is a sponsor talk, not like anything that ever went through a vetted CFP process or anything. Those have always been my favorite moments to watch those guys like squirm after their snake oil has been exposed to the light of day in front of like real researchers and real, you know, practitioners in the security industry.
So an interesting mix of metaphors there.
So basically you like, and the metaphor I will do is the moment when somebody brings something onto Antiques Roadshow and they think it's worth a lot of money.
Then
somebody who is an actual expert looks at them and goes, that's worth a dollar. And then their face like falls down. That's what you love about security conferences.
But that person would really have to be like really, really sure of how freaking awesome this antique is going into that interaction to be
just being like, oh yeah.
The people that get on stage and are talking about this stuff, there's like a maliciousness to it that is absent in that. If you are on stage advocating for something that is this kind of wrong, you are complicit in it in a way that I think really powers how you feel about it when that person falls.
That's fair.
And so, which like the Antique Roadshow person, maybe they're just like misinformed.
What about you guys? Favorite, least favorite? What are some of your favorite moments?
My favorite part of conferences is just like we frequently use it as an opportunity to get people together from the organization that don't normally get together. And also we tend to, not so much now, but in the past, we were skewed younger in demographics. And so we would take the youth out to Vegas and be like, okay, y'all be good. And then like just then get a video of like, you know, I'm not going to say who, but you get a video of someone who is normally very quiet. and you just get like a note says, this person rode the mechanical bull, which by itself is like, oh, wow, I wouldn't have expected them to see it. But then the video is just the mechanical bull sitting full frame with nobody on it. And then this person comes running from the side and vaults onto it. You're like, oh, I see. He took charge of the bull. Just like those kind of little like insights into people in different environments. Because there's always like an artifice to the place you're at. And it, you know, and different people kind of react to that in different ways. My most recent favorite conference related thing, although this is a stretch, is a tweet by a woman named Katie Greifeld, who is retweeting herself, and her original tweet is, I love conferences. I saw that. And her retweet is, I have COVID. And I'm like, yeah, there's going to be some set of people for whom that is the experience. I feel like we're all like the little baby deer stepping through the forest for the first time and like reinvestigating the environment and like what it means to
the
be out.
The fawn comes out in the spring, only to find the environment has changed.
You know, there's also a set of people for whom there's going to be a realization.
That's the best David Attenborough I got, guys.
It's not bad. There's so it's been like 2.5-3 years since we've let everyone out of the house. That is for some people, like, so I'm 48, so I'm past this period, but there are some people in their 20s and 30s, and you never know exactly where it is, where that is a critical 3 years from when your behavior at a conference, you can get away with it and like kind of be functional. And then, but 3 years later, you're like, oh, I'm old now and I can't do the things that I used to do at conferences. There are people who have not had the benefit of like phasing into that, yeah, and they're going to have a very harsh reality of like, oh, I'm not 27 anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of, so that's a future cast that's coming for some people.
So I think I was at probably Black Hat. I was at a luncheon afterwards and we're just like, it was a random conglomeration of people. And I was working for another large forensics company. And this guy sat down next to me and I hadn't met him, just kind of introduced ourselves. And then like, as he's talking, he basically goes, oh, so you're in marketing, right? And nice. I was just like, excuse me? And I was like, wow, so you said that. And I was like, actually, no, you know, I'm a security consultant. And then he had the audacity to see if he could give me his resume later to see if I could help him get a job. And I'm like,
No, take that resume and you're like, yes, I will hold on to this and let my recruiters know to be on the lookout for it.
Yeah. Never, ever, ever talk to this guy. So yeah, that was one of my, there's been so many, like, are you in sales? Are you in marketing? Are you somebody's girlfriend, somebody's wife? That's always been my favorite, you know, the sexism. That's my favorite part of security conferences.
For anybody who is going to be at RSA, so we're going to do the usual slate of booth talks that we normally do at the Cisco booth in Moscone Center North Hall, where we typically can be found there. We'll have Amy Henderson is going to be giving a talk this year, which I'm kind of excited to see. Jason Schultz, one of my favorite presenters in Talos. I can listen to him talk about anything, but he has a talk he's doing on Web 3.0, including the metaverse, DeFi, that kind of thing. Nick Biasini is going to be giving a Log4j talk, and Brad is going to be talking about incident response at the Super Bowl. And Liz, you have a talk on plans and playbooks, I think, in the booth.
It's plans of actions are the new playbooks.
Boom.
It's very exciting.
Nick and Pierre, one of your teammates, Pierre is going to be giving a joint talk on evolving defense, making heads or tails of threat actor trends. That's a talk we try to give at RSA every year where we just kind of take a look back at the recent landscape and tease out some trends. Really, it's more of a threat landscape talk than anything, but that is usually something that fills up. So if that's something, if you're going to be at RSA, make sure you seek that one out a little bit early and get there on time. The session code for that is part2/TO2. If you want to look that one up and you're going to RSA. But other than that, the three of us are going to be doing some fun stuff in the Cisco Customer Lounge, AKA the Meetin' Pod. So we have the final schedule for that is out. So on Monday, if you get there early, there is going to be a conversation on hiring, diversity, and making security more accessible. And then Hazel will be hosting a session of InfoSec Court. And I believe Wendy Nather will be the presiding judge of InfoSec Court for that session. So that would probably be something you want to check out if you can. But then on Tuesday, and this is my favorite part of the week, we will defend our honor and defend our title playing Would I Lie to You versus the Security Stories podcast. If anybody remembers the last time we did this, it ended in a tie. And then I had to play a tiebreaker with Ben Nahorny, and we narrowly eked out a victory. So we have to really come in strong this time and like completely flummox them with who's telling the truth and who's lying.
Well, you also have me, who whatever I say is going to be weird, and they will just be like, I don't know. Like, she's just weird.
But we're going to do that at 2 o'clock on that Tuesday. And then, Matt, you and Amy are going to join me and Matt Wachinski, and we're going to talk about Talos Ukraine stories for an hour there. And we have another game show on Wednesday with the IR group. I believe you're doing that one, Liz. And that's where I guess we're going to give like an IR scenario, and the teams have to guess like what happened next in that real world scenario. So it'll be a lot of fun. It's open to customers, open to anybody, really. Come in, grab a snack. We'll be in the marquee, the Marriott marquee. I don't know if I have been given the room number yet, but there'll be signs for the Cisco Secure Meet and Pod when you come up to the meeting room area in the Marriott marquee. Stop by, say hi, get some, you know, BWT and Talos swag, and hang out for a second. So we have RSA, and RSA is going to be a lot of fun simply because that is, of all the big conferences we do, I think that's the one where I see the most people that I've worked with in the past, like former coworkers and like former colleagues. That's like the security industry employee homecoming kind of a conference. So that one is a lot of fun most of the time, and a good time to be had in the evenings. And I know we're not doing a big customer appreciation party like we typically do. But they are doing a customer appreciation party at Cisco Live when we get down to Vegas. Did you guys see who the guest was?
Elvis.
Dave Matthews.
Dave Matthews Band. So that'll be interesting. 20,000 nerdy dudes like getting their groove on to Dave Matthews.
Oh my God. All the Dave Matthews tech fans. Ew.
Tech bro, Dave Matthews fans.
Tech bro.
I just want to see how they dance.
Puka shell necklace on.
Oh my God, I hope I find puka shell. I will take a picture if I see a dude with a puka shell necklace on for you.
So yeah, Cisco Live. Be careful in Vegas. I'm not going to Cisco Live.
Yeah. Oh, if you do come to Cisco Live, find us in the pub. There's going to be a secret-ish. Nah, it's not so secret. There's a Talos speakeasy behind the pub. Come find us. We'll be in there.
Is that just you like sitting on an ice chest behind like the booth?
I mean, I'll have Mario Kart. So basically what it is, we're just going to be sitting on the loading dock smoking cigarettes. That's the speakeasy. So we have the speakeasy behind the pub, and that's the place you can come. Everybody, when they give a talk, will come to the speakeasy to do Q&A with anybody that wants to like have a chat with them afterwards, after their Q&A time has expired in the room. We'll also have, like I said, we legitimately will have N64s and Mario Kart in there. There's going to be a Mario Kart tournament. Make no mistake.
Will it be a sport?
Well, I mean, what defines a sport versus a game? For me, it's like the ability to like of like personal injury or like due to contact exists.
Okay, so Mario Kart is 100% a sport. It's going to be four competitive 40-year-old men.
All arguing to be Princess Peach,
their
by
youth,
the way.
Trying to win and mad that they can't be Princess Peach.
Yes. Three of them are going to be very upset.
They're going to be throwing elbows. Yep. There's going to be elbows all over the place.
We do have a lot of sessions at Cisco Live as well. And you can check the program for those. Marla and Zane have a talk. Nick Biasini has another talk there. Holger Unterbrink is doing a talk, doing two talks, I believe. And he is a very talented.
Yo, he's like, smart. He's smart AF. Yeah. Go. What? I don't know what he's talking about. I should. I don't know what his topics are, but man, whatever he's doing, you want a piece of.
So he has some good talks. And those were actually, the one with Thorsten Rosendahl is Day in the Life of the Threat is actually, I've seen the abstracts of that. That one looks really good specifically. And these were both talks, I believe, that were supposed to be at Cisco Live Europe. But since that was canceled, they've brought them over for Cisco Live US. Although delayed, definitely worth the trouble. And we have a couple interactive talks from the IR group and a few other things going on there. So it's definitely, if you're going to be at Cisco Live, tweet us, let us know where you're at and come find us in the speakeasy so you can see where else we're going to be all week. I think that covers like our upcoming conferences. You guys have anything you want to add to any of that? Anything we forgot to talk about today on Costa Rica, our best and worst conference moments and our upcoming stuff?
If you're new to conferences, a lot of the good stuff happens at the bars and in the hallways. So the conversations that kind of happen there. So, and don't be hesitant. Like if you find a topic that you're interested in, get in there and chat with folks. Cause ultimately you're going to get something out of the talks, but like kind of reliving someone else's glory and research is only so good in terms of like having the opportunity to kind of engage in a conversation and push ideas back and forth and have people shift your point of view is where it's really at. And that's going to happen more in the conversations on the side. So get to the, you know, if it's at DEF CON, get to the villages where it's more interactive and kind of back and forth. I'll be honest, I don't go to talks much anymore. So it really is about meeting people and having chats and kind of engaging there.
Yeah. And I think also like if you're new to conferences and maybe, you know, the big daddies like RSA is, you know, not where you want to start because that's, or maybe you start big and then go small. But especially though, if your corporation is not paying for you to go, there are certain smaller conferences that are all around the country that are really great ways to meet people, interact, and are always looking for speakers. This is like a really great way to like get your feet wet and talking and sharing your ideas and just making the community better. You can also make your own conference because you don't like the other conferences that are going on. And I'm actually seeing that more and more. I actually just got to hang out with, finally got to meet Mitch in person because we went to one that was such as those. But there's always, you know, opportunities like that. You know, there's B-sides, there's ShmooCon, there's, you know, yes, HushCon.
Nobody can get a ticket to ShmooCon. Don't go to ShmooCon.
Okay. I'm just saying, but like, there's like, yeah, there's so many, like whatever aspect of security you like, there is probably a conference for you and there is probably one near you. And it's a really great way to build your community.
Mm-hmm. B-sides is a great example. Those happen all over the country, all over the world. And are very community-led efforts. And to your point, the smaller conferences serve the same value that Matt is talking about, where the value comes from the hallways and the happy hours. If you're going to get out and get to some in-person, you know, in real-life conference experiences this year, don't forsake those opportunities. Like, always be meeting people, always be, you know, trying to make new connections. That's the real value of those conferences is what relationships can be formed that are going to provide value in the, you know, not even necessarily in the short term future, but for years later down the road where, you know, you can meet somebody and you see them again at the next conference or, you know, in a couple of years at the other conference. There's lots of folks that I work with a lot that I look forward to seeing because conference is the only time I get to see them now. They're people that I consider invaluable to the work I do. And I think most people kind of feel the same way. Like those are your unofficial coworkers in other places that you only get to see every so often. Matt, anything that you want to add on?
Get out, be safe. We've lost 3 years and there's something special about engaging person to person.
2 years,
So get out there and enjoy yourself. Don't go nuts. Just enjoy the experience and get home safe.
Take it easy. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yep.
Well, thank you for joining us, and we will see you again in a few weeks. We're going to take a little bit of an extended break with these conferences coming up, so we won't be able to record at our usual time for the next episode, so it might be about a week delayed. But if we don't see you at RSA or at Cisco Live, we'll see you next time here on the podcast. And until then, be safe, and cheers.